Previously on Talk to Dad.
Just know that there is a 21-ton piece of equipment up in space that might come crashing down and kill you.
Florida woman survives being hit by a flying turtle.
Zebras are just stripy horses.
There's no way that the Loch Ness Monster is real. That's just my opinion.
Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 244. I've got Henry here with me.
Hello.
And also Will.
Hello.
How's it going, boys?
Pretty good. I'm kind of recovering from a cold, so I might sound a little bit weird.
Yeah, but you've had a cold. Your brother's had a cold.
Although that was
Henry's mostly before. Over it now.
Yeah.
Henry got it first.
I don't think you can audibly hear it anymore.
Then Will got it.
I think
I can hear it just a little bit in your voice, but it's not nearly as bad as it was.
You know, I'm pretty sure I never got COVID, and there weren't that many sicknesses beyond COVID. And I think I was just spoiled and wasn't prepared for getting sick again.
It is weird to think that you guys got a cold because we've been wearing masks and socially distancing.
Yeah, how did that happen?
How did you get a cold? Yeah. Mom and I were talking about that, and it's kind of no one should feel we didn't get COVID because we're special, because just like you got a cold, any of us could have gotten COVID. Mm-hmm. We're really lucky more than special.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really glad that I was.
I still haven't gotten COVID, by the way. I probably won't because...
Because Henry, when you... Well, we'll get to that in just a minute. Well, but okay. Henry, when you got your
good
cold...
Good transition.
We actually had you tested because we just wanted to make sure that it wasn't COVID because you were still going to end school... In-person school.
It was not COVID.
And it was not COVID. But then, was it the same day you got tested?
Yeah.
I think it was the same day you got tested.
No, it was the day before.
The day before you got tested, you were able to get a vaccine.
Yeah. Got my first dose.
Yeah. Mom was on the website the day that they announced the final approval from the CDC for teenagers between the ages of 12 and 16. Or I guess 12 and 17.
No, it'd be 12 and 15. Before it was 16 and up.
It's sort of, I'm caught on technicalities here. If you're talking about between the ages, it's probably between the ages of 11 and 17. But really, it's age 12 to 16.
Well, but 16-year-olds could already get it.
Could they?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's why I'm fully vaccinated.
Well, no, you're 17, Will.
You're 17.
Well, yeah, but I think it was 16 and up. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right. So this was from 12 to 15, I guess. And you were able to get it. And Mom signed you up as soon as it was possible, and you got it
as soon as it was possible.
They were made available. You got to get yours at just a Walgreens up the street. Mm-hmm. Walgreens, CVS, one of those two.
They're basically the same.
I can never keep them straight.
I think it was Walgreens. No, it was CVS, yeah.
Some corner drugstore. Yeah, I think it was CVS.
They're kind of interchangeable, though.
And how was your experience? I wasn't there.
It was really bad until... The anticipation was really bad, but then I was like, wait, it already happened? Because I just couldn't feel the needle.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes that's the way a good shot is. Someone who's good at giving shots, they can do it pretty much without you even noticing.
Yeah, needles usually don't really hurt.
Did your shoulder hurt, the next day or later that day?
It was kind of sore the day after, but not really.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first shot wasn't that hard for me either.
The second shot, it'll probably ache a little more. Although, maybe you'll be lucky and you'll be one of those people that don't really have any side effects at all.
Yeah, I had no side effects for the first one, so, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, for the most part, because of the way the science works, side effects tend to happen more on the second one. Because the first one is introducing this mRNA into your body, and your body's like, huh, interesting, new protein, we're going to make this protein. Let's make this protein, let's see what it's like.
And then I'm guessing the
second wait a minute, this is a bad protein, we need to send in the reinforcements and fight this protein.
Yeah.
And then the second time, they're like, oh, I know you. You're bad. We must fight you. So you immediately have side effects.
I'm a little bit nervous that the second one, at least with the Pfizer, I'm a little bit nervous that the side effects of the second one for the Pfizer are going to scare people into not taking it. But I don't know.
You know, they say even one shot gives you a certain amount of,
Wasn't it 90%? Protection.
Yeah, so even if people are getting the first shot, that's good. Yeah. I'm more worried about the people who don't want to get any shot at all, but
yeah,
that's a whole different discussion. So it's all good. You feel like you're half vaccinated, and in another week or so, 2 weeks, I guess. It's a week from tomorrow, you get your second one. I like that CVS scheduled you for both visits on the same appointment. And so now all you got to do is show up 2 weeks from the first one and you get your second shot. And then our whole family will be vaccinated. Which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah,
I think it's just in time because I've noticed the other thing that happened this week was the CDC said that when if you are vaccinated, you no longer have to wear masks or socially distance.
Yeah, although...
But that's if you're completely vaccinated.
Something I was thinking of, like... I realized that most people who are vaccinated are probably just going to wear masks anyways so that they don't, like, look anti-mask. But then the people who are anti-mask are going to not wear them and claim they're vaxxed.
Yeah, right. But, like... Yeah,
that's the problem, is some people that... So there's, like, there's four scenarios here, right? If you did, like, a grid chart, there would be, like, people who wear masks and get vaccinated. Don't have to worry about them. Then there's people who are fully vaccinated and stop wearing masks. You know, don't really have to worry about them. Then you've got people who wear masks but won't get very vaccinated. I don't think there's
that's
very
like
many
a
people
little
in that
bit
square.
Of concern,
but then
like,
there's the people who
neither
won't wear a mask and won't get vaccinated.
But they'll
there's
claim
no way
they're
to
vaccinated
tell when you're out
someone
in public.
Tells them to wear a mask.
There's no way to tell when you're out in public if they are part of that group or part of the group that's already vaccinated, so they're not wearing masks.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's still handy to wear masks even if you're fully vaccinated, just because, like, I don't know, if you can put, like, social pressure on people who aren't vaccinated to wear masks, then, like...
Yeah, I mean, Mom and I sort of feel the same way. We're both kind of rule followers in a way. Like, if it's a rule that sort of makes sense and it's going to help everyone, if you go into a store and they require masks, I'm going to keep wearing a mask until the store says, all right, you don't have to wear them anymore. And then maybe I won't. But
yeah.
The first time I go to a store and just don't wear a mask, it's going to feel weird.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah, that's another thing, is I feel like I kind of have social pressure to wear masks anyways, because, like, I don't want to be the, like, just idiot that's, like, just walking around without a mask.
Plus although I predict by the time school starts up again in the fall that you'll feel differently. Because I have a feeling, like, if you show up with a mask, you'll be one of the only people at school with a mask, because next year they're not going to be required.
Yeah. They aren't going to be. I did have a couple of friends say, like, oh, yeah, we're probably going to wear a mask just so we don't look, like, tacky. But I feel like by then most people are going to be vaxxed, so it'll just be, like, a... Like,
yeah,
it is people gonna, just be like, oh, they're probably vaccinated.
It is gonna feel weird to, like, walk around without a mask.
That'll right. be
see,
so weird.
See, like,
breathing everyone
mostly
else's
everyone
air.
Without, yeah. That's gonna take some time to get used to.
I think some things, like, do you remember when we went to Japan as a family in July? Like, some people in Japan just wore masks.
Yeah,
like if you like feel sick, you wear a mask.
Yeah,
Or if you're concerned about, you know, getting sick. Which, it's just part of the culture there. I think there may be some of that, like, here now. Like, when you start to feel sick, maybe you put on a mask before you get on a bus or whatever.
That would be really cool. Like, that is, like, a cool, like, social norm for country to have.
Yeah. Although it's a little bit foreign to the way I think people in this country tend to think of things.
Yeah.
But it would be good if, you know, you feel like, well, I don't want to cough all over everyone, so I'm going to wear a mask today.
That would be really cool. I don't know. I feel like now, like, whenever there's a flu or whatever, like, I'm always going to be, like, more, like, alert about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is weird, though, to think there was a time when, you know, if you had a cold, you just still went about your business and didn't worry about it, you know?
Yeah, I've thought about this before, but, like, not having COVID be a thing is going to be so weird. Like... I feel like I'm just going to constantly be like 6 feet. Oh, wait. And like, you should wear a mask. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like another thing I've noticed is, like, I don't really know what I was expecting, but I've noticed that the, like, return to normal, whatever, I guess that's what everyone calls it. Like, that's taking, like, slow steps. Like at first it was like we got fully vaccinated and we could, like, go to gatherings without worrying about getting COVID. And now, like, we can now go to both hours of church.
Yeah.
There's that. And it's kind of just like step by step.
Yeah, we can go to the main meeting and then we can also go to Sunday school. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty cool. You know, I feel like what we're coming to realize, and Henry and I were talking about this the other day, return to normal is not going to be returned to, like, normal prime. It's going to be like return to normal secondary. Like,
yeah.
Because normal is shifted a little bit. So I think there are some things like the new normal is going to be something different. Like the thing that Henry and I were talking about is, like this year in school, even though both of you are going to in-person school, every now and then they'll have a day where they call it asynchronous day, where it's like, all right, today maybe you'll be in school for a little bit, but for the rest of the day, just come home and do your stuff online.
Like, you don't have to do it at a certain time, just do it.
It's like the...
And that was to accommodate, like, COVID, and they began that last spring, but is there any reason why they might not continue to do that indefinitely in the future?
Oh, and another thing, and I'm still having trouble seeing why people who aren't, like, immunocompromised or have conflicts or whatever would do this, but they're also offering virtual school where it's, like, just virtual and it has, like, its own separate, like, teachers and stuff, and, like, you can't do any extracurricular stuff. I feel like some people are just going to do that because they're not used to in-person school.
But I feel like there's, like, I also have a little bit of anxiety that, like, when all this is over, there's going to be some other, like, crazy world event or something. I don't know.
I mean, there's constantly a crazy world event happening. It's just this one affects us a lot.
I mean, there's always the possibility we'll have another pandemic based on another version of a coronavirus. You know, because they had SARS and they had MERS before. This is just the newest version of the coronavirus. So, but I feel like if it did happen, and I really hope it doesn't, because that would be a real bummer. But if it did, we'd know what to do a little better.
That's true.
So I don't know. We would adapt quicker. And then the other thing Henry and I were talking about is like I'm still working from home, even though it's been like 14 months since my office started working from home. And I don't know at this point, like, when I'll go back into the office.
Oh, yeah. But you said that, like, there's not really that much of a difference, right? Like, you can still get, like, most of your work done.
Yeah. I mean, my job, I can pretty much get it done. I sort of miss kind of seeing people and sort of relating to them on a day-to-day. And I feel like some things get done because you're around people. And so I wonder about that sometimes. But there's a lot of jobs like mine. And that's not unique to my company either. A lot of companies are sort of asking the question, do we need to go back to work? Like, or should we just keep working from home? And I think a lot of, like, certain jobs are a lot easier to do in person, but other jobs are even before. So this was a discussion at my company and a lot of other companies for the last few years was, can we do our jobs from home? Should we allow people to start working from home? And maybe it's just, you know, a few days a week, or if they want to, you know, just permanently work from home. And there was a real resistance. It was like, yeah, but if they're not showing up to work, are they really working, or are they just, you know, slacking off at home? And then the pandemic hit and it was suddenly like, well, everybody has to work from home. And I think what they realized is, yeah, you can do your job from home.
Okay. I feel like
now a lot of people are like, now a lot of companies are like, hey, it's kind of expensive to have these big buildings and heat them and air condition them, and people don't like commutes and it's expensive. And so they're like, yeah, maybe working from home is really a thing people can do.
I feel like everything about, like, the current age we're living in, like, the whole growth of technology and also, like, social isolation, like, political division, I feel like that's all being super, super amplified by COVID.
Like, I thought about that before. Like,
yeah, like, COVID is, like, the, like,
people talk about
big thing that's, like,
people talk about how, like, each generation, like, millennials and Zoomers and, like, maybe Generation Alpha next, is, like, more and more, like, socially isolated and, like, always on their phones.
I feel like COVID is just a magnification of, like, everything good about new technology, everything bad, and, like, everything in between.
Like, everyone was at home. Everyone was staring at a screen.
Like, but everyone, like, was able to communicate still.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. It's strange to think about. But, yeah, a lot of things have changed. If that's the one fortunate thing, and I know we've talked about this before, but the one fortunate thing about the pandemic is we had all this technology available. We just had to get used to it. So, like, you know, the first 5 or 10 or 15 times you did a Zoom call, it might have seemed strange, but now it's like, yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, but we know how to do it.
Yeah.
Doing a Zoom call is no big deal.
Like, I remember, like, towards the beginning of the pandemic, and I've actually been doing this lately too, but do you remember, like, the, like, 5 seconds of awkwardness when you're, like, trying to press the leave meeting button? You're just there, like, 5 seconds just staring silently.
Yeah, the other thing I got used to is, like, whenever I'm presenting something, like, on a meeting, you don't get any sort of feedback.
Oh, so, yeah,
like,
definitely.
I had a meeting, like a department meeting that I was supposed to lead last week. And as part of the meeting, I decided just to, as like an icebreaker, that I'd tell some dad jokes. And I think people really liked them, but it was weird to tell a joke and hear like nothing in response because everyone was muted. So yeah. It was like, and yeah. There were a few people that were on video, so I could see some people laughing, and some people gave me the, like, this was a Microsoft Teams thing, but you can do the thing where you can like clap. Oh, you can have the hands come on and clap. And so that was kind of nice, but it's so weird to tell a joke and hear no response whatsoever. You're like, ooh, am I bombing?
You don't know.
Yeah. And also, like, I don't know. Like, something, I think it's, like, something about the, like, audio being delayed or something, but, like, it's really hard to, like, jump into a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like you're just, like, interrupting someone.
Yeah. Do you want to hear the dad jokes?
All right.
Let me see if I can pull them up. If I can't pull them up, you can't hear them. But I think I still have them. Some of these you might have heard already.
All right.
I do like some of these jokes. They're really bad because they're dad jokes.
All right.
The maker of the umbrella was going to call it umbrella, but he hesitated.
Oh.
Wait, I don't get it.
Umbrella.
Oh. Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I see.
What is red and bad for your teeth?
Candy?
A brick.
Oh. Okay.
I think I told you this one. Didn't I tell you this one? A priest, a minister, and a rabbit walk into a hospital to donate blood. The rabbit looks at the minister and the priest and says, I think I'm a type O.
Yeah, that one's actually a pretty good one.
What sounds like a sneeze and is made out of leather?
Wait. I can't
even think of this. A shoe. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't know that one. I just thought of it.
Yep. I went to the doctor last week and he told me I was going deaf. That was really hard for me to hear. A Spanish magician told everyone he would disappear. He said uno, dos, and disappeared without a trace.
I understand. I get the joke.
Did you hear about the guy who rubbed ketchup in his eyes?
No, I didn't.
It made his eyes sting, but now he has perfect hindsight. I used to be addicted to soap, but I'm clean now.
Oh, you just told that one too.
Okay. I empathize a lot with batteries because I'm never included either.
I don't get that one.
Because batteries not included.
Yep.
I get it. That's
I heard a joke about paper, but it was terrible.
That was pretty terrible.
Yeah, that was terrible.
That is terrible. And the last dad joke. When does a joke become a dad joke?
When you've said it on Talk to Dad podcast?
No. When it becomes apparent.
I get it.
Those are the dad jokes.
Thank you. Those are quality.
All right. So it's been raining a lot. The sun is actually out right now, but it's been raining really hard all day long. Do you know why it's been raining hard all day long and why it's supposed to rain like all this week?
Well, you see, when clouds get dense enough.
Well, that's one reason. But the real reason in this case is that
we live in Texas.
All day yesterday, I spent the day repairing our sprinkler system to make sure that our sprinklers work and setting the sprinkler because it seemed like it wasn't watering the way it was supposed to. And then I turned on the sprinklers and I had them all ready to go. And I ran the sprinkler system last night, gave it all a good soak.
And then the clouds were like, hey, I can help.
And then like the universe being like all ironic and sarcastic was like, we'll show you. We're just going to rain all week long and soak the ground anyway. So all of your work,
yeah, I find that the
does
moment,
not matter.
The moment you repair the sprinklers, that happens.
Yep. It's like if you ever want it to, I don't know. I was going to say like when you want to wash your car, it'll always rain, but that's also rain. I was looking for an analogy that didn't use rain.
Trying to step through like sprinkler systems is basically like trying to step through like, I don't know, like a sidewalk when it's raining. Like, sprinkler systems are annoying.
I'm trying to think of a good analogy here. Right when you're trying to figure out whether or not you can work from home, COVID happens.
Exactly. Or, like, when you really want to study really well for a test, that's when you have a snow day. When you're, like, completely prepared for a math test.
Yeah, or a snow week sometimes.
Yeah.
Or 2 weeks.
Yep. What else is going on? William had something exciting happen the
other day. Oh, yeah. I mentioned, like, I swear it was, like, over a month ago by now, but I mentioned a while back on the podcast that I was finishing up a EP, and I have released that EP. It's called Extended Fantasy. I had actually finished
it. It is on SoundCloud.
Yes,
if you want to listen to it, you can go to B-Boy on SoundCloud.
And it is called Extended Fantasy.
Yes. There are 9 tracks.
Or with spaces.
A total of 22 minutes and 57 seconds. Couldn't you have just done 3 seconds longer than it'd be an even 23 minutes? That's my biggest complaint.
Okay. Well, the thing is, I actually didn't know how long it was when I finished it. Because technically, I actually uploaded it like 5 different times. Because I didn't realize that, like, well, for one thing, SoundCloud is being just stupid all around. But I didn't realize that, like, you couldn't, like, schedule tracks unless you had SoundCloud Pro. And I was actually going to schedule it for, I guess, when I'm recording this tomorrow. But then I was like, oh, wow, I can't, like, schedule this or anything. Okay, I'll just release it now.
Yeah.
So I didn't even, like, see stuff like that until it was released.
So you released it. I've listened to it through a couple times now.
I've listened to it. I've listened to it once through, and it's honestly really good.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty especially good with headphones.
So you were asking me, like, which song I like the best. I think I have 2 favorites now that I've listened to it. The second time I listened to it, like, first time I just listened to it all the way through, and I didn't really pay attention to, like, which tracks were rich. Were which? I can't talk. But this, the second time I listened to it, I was trying to pay more attention, and I knew, like, there was stuff I liked, but I was trying to pay attention to which ones I like.
It's all instrumental, by the way.
I think my favorite song is New World Order. I'll play a little bit.
All right.
I'll play it kind of low so we can talk over it. This reminds me of Churches.
Yeah, I thought he stole a bass line from Churches, but then I went through Churches' entire discography and couldn't find it.
Well, okay. There are actually a lot of moments in this EP.
Don't admit to copyright infringement here.
Okay. Well, there are a lot of moments on this EP where I had, like, a melody in mind, and I thought that I was, like, directly stealing from something. Then I go back and listen to that and be like, wow, that sounds a lot different than it does in
my
head.
It's just more inspired by.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. There is no copyright infringement here.
Yeah, just kind of the beat and the structure kind of remind me a little bit of Churches.
I really like how it's mixed.
Churches is kind of what introduced me to, like, synth pop, and this was, like, totally inspired by them.
Oh, yeah.
I like this song.
This one was going to be a single, but then I was like, nah, I'm just going to release the whole thing.
I was telling Mom, like, and you should take this as a big compliment. When I was listening to this the other day while I was shopping, there were times when I just start to vibe with it. And then there were other times when I was like, I'd sort of forget that it's like my son's SoundCloud, and just it's just music I'd listen to, and that's kind of cool.
Thank you. So it was originally, really, really originally it was going to be a double album, but then I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. Let's make it an album. And then actually the reason why it ended up being an EP was just because, like, all of this was just made, like, on a laptop, just on Soundation, which is just like a free software. And it's kind of like, I don't know, I kind of like to, like, expand out, like, more beyond just a laptop. So it ended up just being an EP.
A couple other observations I had when I was talking to Mom about this. One, I always wonder, maybe this is a really stupid question, but if you sat down, like, at your keyboard or the piano, could you play, like, the melodies of these songs?
I think I've heard him play some of them.
I've tried doing it before.
Is it weird, or does it work fine?
It works pretty well because, like,
I mean, some of it obviously is, like, super quick sequencing or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, I've typed the, or I guess, like, clicked the, like, chords into a computer so many times that I think that kind of helps me remember it. I've considered doing, like, like, in finger quotes, concerts, like, on my YouTube channel, just, like, a live, like, performance of different songs. I can't now because YouTube randomly banned me from live streaming for no reason.
But, thank you, YouTube.
It's neither here nor there.
Actually, and I think Mom agreed with me on this, I think the best track on there might be Frog Dreams. I really like that one.
All right, let's play a little bit of Frog Dreams. I like this one too.
That one's the most
played.
Even
though this wasn't my...
Oh.
It kind of has.
This is what it's like to dream if you're an amphibian.
Apparently.
Yeah. I think like imagination was kind of like a big theme on the EP. It was kind of supposed to be about like just being in quarantine and just like imagining stuff.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun to make. I think, I don't know. I kind of like to, like I said, I kind of like to expand my style now. Like, I don't know if I'll ever work on any more solo, like, projects. I'm kind of unsure about that. I've considered doing, like, solo projects with actual, like, vocals. I would like to do some, like, covers on my own or stuff like that, though.
The other song, so that one's called Frog Dreams. The other song that I think I decided was one of my favorite was the last song, Raise the Glass.
Oh, that one's... I feel like this one needs a bit of explanation, especially since...
This one is fairly catchy. You can get stuck in your head.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, actually, I really like how you did this line right here, like that hook, because you used it a couple of times on, I think, the opening track and also like one that was a couple tracks before the end, like a mid-track too. And on the mid-track, it was like one of the, I guess, darker ones. So it was the same, it was almost the same hook, but the ending didn't quite resolve. But then in this, it's like the hook's resolved.
Yeah,
it just works.
I was listening to, I think it was Spoon's Kill the Moonlight and Vampire Weekend's Father the Bride. Both when Dad was playing it on vinyl. And I was listening to certain songs in there, and I was like, whoa, this song like kind of sounds like this song. And I realized, like, whoa. I don't know. I
just what does this one sound like?
EPs or albums can have like the same like hook or whatever, kind of repeated throughout.
Or like
it.
A motif, yeah. Sometimes the album like will have a motif.
Yeah. So I kind of did that.
Yep.
This one is probably the most like Matt and Kim inspired.
Hmm. Yeah.
All right, and I don't know. I think the song "Daily Dose / Quarantine." Is a pretty good song. Do you have a favorite?
That's the other one with that hook in it.
So I know this is like a question that a lot of musicians don't like to answer because they say it's like selecting their favorite child, which I don't see what the big deal is. I mean, my favorite child is Henry.
Yeah.
But
that
know.
Was a joke.
Well, you think it's a joke.
Okay.
We'll tell him it's a joke, Henry. But do you have a favorite song?
It's kind of hard to say, like, at this point, just because by now I've listened to all of them, like, 50 times through editing and stuff like that. I remember at the time of making it, the opener to the song was, like, my favorite that I had made at that point. But the opener to the song is also the first song I made for the entire EP.
Sunrise Empire?
Yeah.
Play a little bit.
This has a cool intro.
Yeah, that was in post. But, I think this one's one of my favorites. Frog Dreams might be one of my favorites too. And I like the final one. I don't know. I guess like, I don't know. I guess if I disliked any of them, then I probably wouldn't be releasing them.
Yeah.
But yeah, something like that.
So you can listen to it for free on SoundCloud.
Yes.
SoundCloud. If you go to B-Boy. Yeah, I had to like reset my SoundCloud. Fantasy. Password to listen to this because I couldn't remember what it was.
You have the SoundCloud password?
Well, if you have the app, you have to sign in to your account.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's called Extended Fantasy. I'd recommend listening to it because I need.
I recommend headphones.
I mean, you should listen to anything with headphones. I think pretty much any music works better with headphones.
Well, unless it's poorly produced.
Well, then it's not good music.
Yeah, okay, fair. But I think, like, especially this, the contrast of this EP without headphones and with headphones is like very different. Like it's way better with headphones.
Yeah, I was noticing that when I was
I think certain types of music are better in headphones than you know.
Yeah. Like more layered stuff especially is better with headphones.
Yeah, definitely. Right. I used to only listen to music with one headphone in ninth grade because I was like, oh, if anyone like calls my name, then like I can just say like what? And then, like, when I first started using two headphones, I was like, whoa, everything sounds so much better now.
Wow, you can hear the whole mix.
It's like eye-opening.
Everything. Yep.
You realize there's a whole other half of the Beatles. There's four members, not just two.
So school's basically over.
Oh, yeah, that.
Basically. I mean,
this is your last week in school.
We don't have any more grades, dude.
But you don't have any more grades left, which is weird. because you have no homework today. You'll have no homework tomorrow or the next day or the day after that. And after that, you're just going to be out for summer vacation. Is it a good feeling?
Is it yeah, weird? It is.
I guess.
Like, we don't have any seminary left, so I can wake up at a normal time and I can like go to bed a little bit later.
It's going to be kind of strange having you guys around the house all the
time. It's going to be strange having... I feel like a lot of times summer is just like standing around and having nothing to do.
I have no idea what it's like for everyone to be at home all the time.
I think that's one reason why I'm looking forward to summer a little less this year, because I feel like I'm going to have flashbacks to last year's extended summer that nobody asked for.
But maybe you can start having people over again. Do you know which of your friends have been or will shortly be vaccinated?
I don't.
Yeah.
I keep wondering, like my friends, like how many of them have been vaccinated, and maybe I should start like inviting them over again.
Yeah. I know of a couple people who are vaccinated. I don't know. It's weird because like...
It's weird because you don't necessarily want to ask them. Is that the thing?
Well, no, but like, you know the statistics for like the entire country. Yeah. But you don't know just like people that you meet.
Yeah.
So that's kind of weird.
I sort of assume that most people I know either are or will be very soon.
Yeah.
And yet I don't know that for sure. But oh well. Kind of strange.
Yeah, that is
like really a lot weird. Of things, kind of strange. Let's do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
Have you guys heard about the tiger that was on the loose in Houston?
I have.
Oh, yeah.
There was a tiger that was running around a neighborhood in Houston. They have found the tiger's owners.
Oh, wait, sorry. One second. Before I forget, Phoebe actually shared an article from The Onion on the group chat that was like, escaped tiger disappeared into crowd of 100 tigers. And it's like, and the entire article is just them being like, we can't find this tiger. How are we ever supposed to catch it?
Yep. Well, they have caught the tiger. They now have the tiger in custody. And it turns out that the tiger belonged to a couple named Cuevas.
Oh,
Gia
no.
and Victor Hugo Cuevas own the tiger. The tiger was only 9 months old, I think. And the news of it first came out because of the app called Nextdoor.
Find
have,
a
you
tiger,
heard, have you heard of Nextdoor
tiger.
App?
Oh, I was thinking it would be the app Find Your Local Tiger.
Tiger Finder?
Tiger Finder, yeah.
No, it was... Have you heard of the Nextdoor app?
I have.
So it's like where people get on there and they complain about their neighbors, basically.
Yeah.
Weird things are going on. Someone posted a video on Nextdoor of this guy carrying a tiger into his house and was like, watch out, neighbors. There is a tiger in our neighborhood and it got loose recently. And it turned out it was true. The tiger's name was India. It weighs about 175 pounds, but it is now in custody. A Houston Police Department commander pointed out that it is illegal and also a bad idea to keep tigers as pets in Houston.
That's good.
Houston Police Department Commander Ron Borza says, in no way, shape, or form should you have an animal like that in your household. That animal can get to be 600 pounds. It still has claws, and it could do a lot of damage if he decided to. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that statement. So after the police found out that they were keeping an illegal tiger in their house, they raided the house, but Victor Hugo Cuevas... fleed the scene. He's still wanted for resisting arrest. A felony evading arrest. But Gia Cuevas brought the tiger and turned it over to authorities, and she is not currently facing any charges.
That's good. Kind of sounds like at least some of these people are kind of crazy.
Yeah, the tiger is expected to be transported to the Cleveland Armory Black Beauty Ranch Wildlife Sanctuary.
Oh, cool.
In fact, it should have been transported today, according to CNN.
Okay, I'd argue that they should have just turned Houston into a wildlife sanctuary. That'd be kind of cool if they turned the entire city of Houston into a wildlife sanctuary for tigers.
Yeah. As someone who lives near Dallas, I'm probably okay with that. If they wanted to do it in Dallas, I don't know that I would feel the same.
No, it's like, have you ever played like Zoo Tycoon? It's like how you can just mess around and just like put the animals in the same exhibit as the
There is a happy visitors. Tiger. You see, the tiger is happy.
Yeah, and the people are the...
But the antelopes, they're not so happy right now.
Yeah, all the people are the like exotic animals. The people animals are
screaming
too.
And running away.
Everyone can visit the Houstonians. Right, is that what they're called? I don't know.
I liked on Zoo Tycoon when you can make the people scream.
By just letting tigers
like
out.
Like breaking down the walls to the tiger enclosure.
Yeah, they can like stomp down building. If you, in the complete collection where you can breed dinosaurs, or in the Dinosaur Digs game, you can like get the dinosaurs to like stomp down buildings and yeah. stuff.
Who wants to share one of their stories?
I have a pretty funny one.
Okay.
Here's the headline. Vlad the Vaccinator, Dracula's castle lures visitors with COVID-19 jabs. So there's a castle that's like, where is it?
In
Romania.
Romania, yeah.
That's like, in normal times, it's supposed to be like a tourist attraction because Dracula, it's like Dracula's castle.
Dracula's castle. Yeah. I think it's like the castle that the guy who wrote the book Dracula like visited and based it all on that castle. And then there is the historical person, Vlad the Impaler, who is generally considered like the historical basis for Dracula.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so now doctors and nurses started offering free vaccine shots there with no appointments. Like you can just walk in and get one.
That would be a pretty cool place to get your vaccine.
Like that's crazy.
That would be pretty cool.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like, of all the places, I mean, you could get it at CVS, or you could get it at Dracula's Castle in Romania. I would choose Dracula's Castle if I had the choice.
Yeah, that'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, specifically, the article says, anyone can turn up without an appointment every weekend in May. They also get free entry to the castle's exhibit of 52 medieval torture instruments.
Nice.
Nice. So it's like a bonus.
That's a funny detail.
Like 52 torture instruments and a COVID vaccine.
And it sounds like a sticky with a needle.
It sounds like it's more like a historical museum that like also offers vaccines.
Your mom was talking about this article and she was saying she always thought it'd be a really cool idea to do like a big blood drive in Dracula's castle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is like a good like incentive, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've heard some like crazy like incentives to get people to get vaccinated. Like in Ohio, they did like the like lottery tickets where like any person who received the vaccine could win $1 million. Like
yeah, that. I think those are actually a pretty good idea because right now, and I know I talked about this, I think I talked about this on the last podcast. The thing they're concerned about is if enough people don't get vaccinated, we might not reach herd immunity. Mm-hmm. So getting those last reluctant people to get vaccinated can have a big impact on the rest of us.
Actually,
so
the idea here
those kind
is
of incentives are really cool.
The idea here is that like normally the castle has like a lot of visitors, but it sort of dried up during the pandemic. So now this is going to get people to get vaccinated and people who weren't going to get vaccinated to get vaccinated. It's also going to get people who weren't going to visit the place to visit the place.
Yeah. Mm. It's like two birds, one stone.
Mm.
Yeah. Imagine if like when like we got really, really desperate and we just had like a whole bunch of like, I don't know, like secret agents just like find all the people who weren't vaccinated and just vaccinate them in their sleep.
Yeah.
And then, like, the White House has to say, like, hey, by the way, all of you guys are vaccinated.
That would be very controversial.
I don't know.
You want to share your story, Will?
All right. Belgian farmer mistakenly moves country's border with France.
I saw this.
Oops. I'm glad this didn't result in, like, a land war.
That'd be really funny. I mean, maybe funny is the wrong word, but it would be, in retrospect, funny.
It says a Belgian farmer moved a 330-pound stone out of the path of his tractor and unwittingly changed the border between Belgium and France by 7.5 feet. I feel like if people are unknowingly doing this, they gotta, like...
They gotta update that border. You can't just be marking borders with rocks.
Well, they gotta either, like, glue the rocks together or they gotta put a sign that says, like...
Or, like, you draw receive a line...
And all
or
the
not base an entire border off of just rocks.
All the map makers are like, dang it, we got to draw the map again.
Or no, it's like
that farmer is at it again.
I can just imagine someone drawing a map of Europe and it's like, oh dang, and then they just erase it and replace it, and then they move it back and it's like, oh dang, and they have to erase it and replace it again.
Or one of those like little like time lapses of like the history of like the area.
There's
like
for a brief second,
a second where it just splits a little bit.
It is weird that they've got stones along their national borders.
Mm. Yeah. So the dude the mayor who saw it happen, David Laveau, said, Belgium and our municipality are enlarged. The French don't agree, obviously. Gonna have to put things back in place.
Yeah.
And he said, I was happy. My town was bigger, but the other mayor didn't agree.
I mean, I guess because you have the European Union, you don't need like a passport to travel across those borders. But it's funny to think that there's just stones there and someone just moves them and hey,
I find it Belgium so funny just got bigger. They, like, just didn't even bother like building anything, but just, let's just place some rocks there. This won't go horribly wrong.
No, I just like,
you know,
it'd
be
idea.
A funny prank is like each year they just move them bigger and bigger just move it by, like, until an suddenly inch. France is like, wait a minute.
I just like the
Belgium,
idea.
Belgium, you're like way bigger than you used to be.
I like the idea of the French mayor just like hiring a whole bunch of people with like portable chargers and super glue guns to glue the rocks together.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, it would just be really funny if just, like, Belgium, like, in, like, 100 years is a huge scandal because Belgium moved it, like, 6 inches.
Yeah.
Like, every year.
It feels like something that in the last century or maybe the last 2 centuries, they would have gone to war over this. It's like, all right, bring the tanks in. We're going to have a land battle here and decide the
border. Some guy was like, why is this boulder here? They moved it a foot, and it's like, land war.
Yep.
It doesn't say anything about like what happened to the farmer, other than the mayor said he wouldn't face any legal consequences if he returns the stone to its original position. But like, I feel really, really bad for that farmer.
I feel worse if he accidentally started a land war. It's like, oh, my tractor can't get past this boulder. 1 second. Oh, land war.
Like, imagine suddenly he goes out to do some farming and there's just like trenches and barbed wire all across his field.
Like, it's imagine like, the stress of like accidentally moving that. It's already kind of stressful if you accidentally move something like as big as that. But then realizing that you changed like the entire country's border.
Yeah.
Just by pushing a boulder.
And some people on a podcast in Texas are suddenly talking about you.
Yeah.
I have one last article. This is about... I have one last news story. This is from the world of science. There's a new theory about why we dream. I'm always fascinated in this, like the reason we dream. Yeah. A dream researcher from Tufts University named Eric Howell has argued in a new paper that there's a reason we dream. He says bizarre and hallucinatory dreams help us process and generalize experiences during our waking life, improving our ability to adapt to situations. Life is boring sometimes, said Howell in a release. Dreams are there to keep you from becoming too fitted to the model of the world. So his theory is based on like machine learning and AI. He said when you try to teach computers things, you always start with a limited model. But if your model is too limited, then it can learn wrongly. But if you mix up the model a lot, you make it different and strange, then the AIs can get over some of the difficulties. The example he gives is, say you're trying to teach a computer the difference between cats and dogs. If you only have a limited number of pictures, the computer might fixate on things that are like really have nothing to do with the difference between cats and dogs, but they don't know that because the data set is small. So if like all the pictures of cats are at nighttime and all the pictures of dogs are at daytime, they might think, well, dogs obviously only exist during the day and cats exist during night. But so you've got to like mix it up a little bit. And he says his theory is that that's what dreams are doing for us. Like we consider like weird, crazy situations, and it helps us kind of process what's happening in our life, because life can be kind of random and crazy. But when we think random and crazy things in our dreams, that helps us cope with our daily lives.
You know,
it helps us learn.
Dreams being like as intentionally like messed up and like incorrect as possible does kind of sound accurate.
He says, I'm arguing that the brain probably faces this problem of learning too well. And dreams help give us the exposure to the wildly different stimuli that we need to prevent getting fixated on inconsequential aspects of our lives.
That's actually kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. It's an interesting
theory.
About
dreams are great.
Yeah. I mean, I have some crazy dreams. I remember last night I had just really crazy dreams, and I don't remember them too well this morning, but I remember waking up thinking, wow, that was a really weird dream. And it does make you think, like, why am I having such weird dreams?
Yeah, like, I guess, so from what I'm gathering, it's so that, like, if something weird happens in real life, you won't, your brain just won't, like, switch off.
Yeah. They talked to a couple of, for this article, which is in Gizmodo, they talked to a couple of other dream researchers and kind of got their opinion about this hypothesis. And it does have its critics. So Deidre Barrett, who is a dream researcher at Harvard University, says it is congruent with the most bizarre dreams, but not with the banal, realistic, or repetitive ones. She says not all dreams are weird, so it doesn't really help explain that. Sometimes dreams are just boring. I feel like the older I've gotten, the more boring my dreams have gotten. Sometimes you have
that's
a dream that's just
noticed.
Frustratingly boring.
I feel like
boring.
That's the reverse for me.
Well, they can be kind of weird in different ways. Like, I've noticed, and I think it has to do with, like, maturity and, like, the different things you think about. Like, when I was younger, I was, like, more easily scared, and so I had more nightmares. And now I'm, like, stress is something I feel more, so I have more stress dreams.
So Barrett, the dream researcher from Harvard, also points out she believes there's a basic fallacy and the quest to pinpoint a function for dreams. She says, we never ask what is the function of waking thought, or at least we'd never expect a one-phrase answer. It's for everything, she explained. I suspect the reason there's no consensus on the function of dreams is because they're also performing a vast number of psychological and biological tasks. So that's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. They also talked to another dream researcher from Sweden named Antti Revisio. And Revisio said that the sweeping claims in the paper are not entirely backed up by dream content studies, and that the theory only considers some highly selective evidence. So it basically cherry picks its data and says, well, this explains the weird dreams, but then it ignores everything else.
Yeah, so it's basically just some dude like just thinking about stuff.
Yeah. But Howell, the person who wrote the article, says, you know, he doesn't expect it to be, you know, this grand theory necessarily. It's just a hypothetical, and he hopes that it leads to more research. I think it's interesting. I don't know. I always think about dreams and, like, how crazy they can be and why are they so crazy. So I like that that article, and it would be an interesting study to read.
Yeah. This is, like, a bit of a tangent, but I remember, like, hearing about a while ago, apparently there was, like, some sort of machine that was developed that could, like, it was like it could, like, detect people's different emotions while they were dreaming and could, like, try to match it to, like, different, like, pictures. I really want to know if they'll ever develop, like, some sort of, like, actual thing that can actually, like, play a video of your dream in some way.
That'd be weird.
It would be really weird, and I think it would be really embarrassing, possibly.
Yeah.
Wow.
It would be interesting for you to go back and watch, but I'm not sure I would want anyone else to watch my dreams.
Yeah, like, we'd have to, like,
what were you thinking when you dreamed this?
We would have to pass, like, laws that, like,
privacy laws.
Yeah, definitely.
Dream privacy laws.
You would definitely, like, own copyright over your own law, over your own dream.
Oh, I guess so. That'd be weird.
It is weird. Mm-hmm. Let's play, let's do a segment we have not done in a little while. Let's do some made up movie minute.
Ooh.
I should do a drop for that because it's becoming sort of a classic talk to dad segment, but I don't have a drop for it. Anyway, we may have even done this before, but we haven't done these particular movies. I thought we would do a made up movie minute based on movies that were released on streaming due to COVID.
All right.
Oh,
so
boy.
I've got four of them. Four movie titles. I'm hoping that you guys don't really know anything about these movies. So
hopefully
not.
It'll
be fresh for you.
Yeah.
And you can just make up.
Are we working as a team or are we dividing them up?
It's going to be you and Henry working together.
Okay.
You'll have a minute or maybe slightly more than a minute to make up a movie plot for one of these movie titles. And then when you're done, I will read to you a synopsis of what the movie is actually about. I don't really have a synopsis so much because I don't think any of these movies have actually come out, but I do have sort of a summary of what the movie's about. All right. So there are four of them. I'm just going to give you all four movie titles. You pick one. We'll do a couple of them.
All right.
The movies are First Cow, After We Collided, Jungle Cruise, and Those Who Wish Me Dead.
I feel like Jungle Cruise would be a fun one. Or First Cow, actually.
Let's do First Cow.
Let's do First Cow.
All right. I'm going to set the timer. I'm going to give you 1 minute and 15 seconds. I think that's about the right amount. Starting now. First Cow.
First Cow is a wacky family movie about the first cow on the moon. You see, because, you know, there's the first man.
I love how we both immediately thought on the moon.
I had that thought, too.
Yeah. Right. So, actually, it's not only... So it doesn't say on the moon. So my take is that it's not only the first cow on the moon. It's also a pun because the cow is married to the president, so they're the first cow.
Yes.
It's
or
both.
It could just be the president.
It's a double meaning.
Should we do a double meaning?
Yes.
Okay.
Keep rolling.
He works for the president. Yeah. He is the president's wife. She was also a cow. This is a world where there's a whole bunch of cows and everyone is a cow. Now the thing is, them being a cow doesn't actually affect the plot that much. It's just a hook to get the family in. So it's just a wacky cow adventure.
15 seconds left.
Wait, what? I didn't get to talk much.
A team of cows to the moon. He brings them there. He makes some sort of...
the real cow was the friends he made along the way.
He crashes the spaceship, which makes all of his cowmates mad at him, and they have to split up.
She.
And
her.
Her, yeah.
Cows are female. Remember this.
Why are they female?
All right. We didn't get too far along in the plot, but I like that you both agreed about what the movie's about. The actual movie, First Cow, here is the summary. It is a loner and a cook has traveled west and joined a group of fur trappers in the Oregon Territory. Though he only finds connection with a Chinese immigrant, the men collaborate on a business, although its longevity is reliant on the participation of a wealthy landowner's prized milking cow. So it's like a frontier drama, I guess.
Huh.
That's a weird
less
name.
Interesting than
why did they name it first
than wife
cow?
Of the
apparently
president
has nothing
and
to do
also,
with astronaut cows.
It has nothing to do with astronaut / wife of the president cows. Boring.
That's a bad name.
All right,
I should fix that.
Let's try in the second round. Let's try to get a little more plot in. The remaining three movies are.
You can start this time.
After We All Collided, right. Jungle Cruise, and Those Who Wish Me Dead.
Those Who Wish Me Dead.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say that one.
I'm gonna start.
Okay.
All right. Let me. Starting now, Those Who Wish Me Dead.
So Those Who Wish Me Dead is a action / comedy about a spy agent who is wished dead, but it's also funny because he's a skeleton, you see. He's already dead. And then people are like, and then the government's like, he shouldn't be alive. Let's kill him again. But it's funny because he's a skeleton.
Yes,
continue,
it's like,
Will.
It's like John Wick, but it's more of a... It's kind of a thriller. It's a little bit of an art house movie because it's about someone like, you know, coming back to like take revenge on, he's not coming back to take revenge. There's just a whole bunch of people who are attacking him and wish him dead. And he has to, there's all these like battles in between, you know, the like afterlife and like the real world. It's really trippy and kind of dark. It's a thriller.
But the main thing is that the government wants him dead and the people who rule the afterlife, I guess, also want him dead because he's not supposed to be alive.
Yes, there's a lot of political commentary there.
Probably.
Something that has to do with the government. I don't know.
Also, the government wants to use the power, I guess.
Yes.
15 seconds.
And there's a Honda product placement.
Oh, yeah. Obviously. Yeah.
Anyways, so he has to... At the end, he figures out that he can go back to his family, and that's a really tough decision.
and it's a
okay, we're going to have to work with that one, kind of develop the plot a little more, get some other characters, but I like where you're going with it.
Yeah.
It's a good pitch. the actual movie, which I think was just released on HBO Max and in theaters, is a teenage murder witness finds himself pursued by twin assassins in the Montana wilderness with a survival expert tasked with protecting him and a forest fire threatening to consume them all. So not too far
so
away.
So it's like the Hunger Games, but without any political commentary.
It sounds like it's got a lot of laughs.
Yeah.
yeah, we got the, like, I don't know, action thriller down, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was pretty clear.
I think I would rather watch your movie, to be honest. It sounds sounds like it's more fun.
Thank you.
There's it's only... Coco plus John Wick.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. There's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
So this treat yourself is brought to you by me looking for movie treats at Walmart. Mm. The other day, we had a movie night at home, except we split up in between parents and kids. You guys watched Citizen Kane, and we watched a wacky Bollywood movie.
We had heard that Citizen Kane was pretty good.
Yeah, so. I've heard it's okay.
Yeah,
you guys liked it. Yeah, right before good. I went to the store to get some more microwave popcorn and movie treats, and while I was there, I noticed a bunch of candy bars I had never seen before. So we're gonna do new types of candy bars. I don't think we've done this one. Have we done this one? The key lime pie Kit Kat. I don't think we have.
We haven't.
Well, we've done the apple pie, but I don't think we've done the key lime pie.
Wait, didn't we? Aren't there like Kit Kats that are like exclusive to certain Japan cities? And wasn't that one of them?
No, this is an American one.
Oh, weird.
And it's key lime pie. I know we did. It says limited edition on it, so I don't think we've done it. I know we've done apple pie, and that one was actually pretty good. Oh, yeah. I've not tried key lime pie Kit Kat.
I feel like, maybe it's just a coincidence, but I feel like key lime pie flavored stuff is getting more and more popular.
Yeah.
Which I like.
The next one, so this is by the makers of Whatchamacallit. Have you ever had a Whatchamacallit?
I feel like I have.
It's kind of a peanut buttery, crispy one. This is a Whoozy What's It.
Whoozy What's It?
Apparently it was named by Lisa M.
Nice.
It says candy bar named by Lisa M.
Good job, Lisa.
It's called a
Whoozy What's It?
From the makers of Whatchamacallit, it's a Whoozy What's It. When I was a kid, Whatchamacallits came out, and I remember the commercial was always like, so what's that called? Whatchamacallit? Yeah, that's what I'm asking. It was one of those type of commercials. And then I have two other ones. We have a Fruity Pebbles and a Cocoa Pebbles candy bar. I've never seen these before either. Have you guys seen these?
I have not. I feel like every single food brand is like trying every single like thing.
They've always been.
What do you want to try first? We've got four of them. There's quite a few to try.
Let's do the Fruity Pebbles. I don't think that will get stuck in our mouth.
All right.
Then Cocoa, Kit Kat, and then
Let's try the Fruity Pebbles.
I don't know what the Whoozy What's It's going to be like, so.
I'm pretty excited for all of these. All of these sound good. Dr. Jinx it.
Oh, it smells like Fruity Pebbles. I guess not really surprisingly.
What do you think?
That is really good. Oh, that's good. A strong, delicious.
I usually like hate white chocolate, super but that was
sweet.
So good.
My only complaint is it's super sweet, but that it's actually really good.
I usually hate white chocolate, but that just worked.
Yeah, it's basically just Cocoa Pebbles and white chocolate, but it's really good.
Like it
really
tastes good. I just like Fruity Pebbles, but also like the milk that Fruity Pebbles is in.
Yeah,
I really, really like that.
Yeah, it's good. It's better than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
Let's try it. So we did the Fruity Pebbles. Now let's do the Cocoa Pebbles.
All right.
This one, I assume, is just milk chocolate with Cocoa Pebbles in it.
I don't know if it'll be as good as this one.
I mean, it's hard to say it will be bad, though. I feel like it will be good, but I don't know. Sometimes I'm surprised.
I don't know. I feel like we set the bar too high with that one.
The tricky thing about this one is I can't get the dang package open, so that's my biggest complaint about it so far.
I'm giving you a disgusting
one. Yes, I'm going to have to use my teeth. All right. Passing around pieces of Cocoa Pebbles candy bar.
This also smells good.
Thoughts?
You know what? Maybe I'm just in a really good mood right now, but that was also really, really good.
I am also
yum,
in
yum,
a...
Yum, 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 delicioso!
That was really good, and I am also in a very good mood, so, you know.
It's hard not to be in a good mood when you're just sitting here chowing down on some... tasty.
I'm just really relaxed today.
I've had chocolate that's the exact same flavor before, but it's just a really good quality of chocolate.
It's not bad. It's pretty good. I think of the two, I actually like the Fruity Pebbles better, which I wouldn't have predicted.
Probably.
But they're both pretty good.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, they're both really, really good, though.
All right, next we're going to try the Kit Kat. The Key Lime Pie Kit Kat. This one smells good.
I'm pretty excited for this one.
I think it's going to be pretty good. You know what I really like about this? The Kit Kat itself, the cookie in the Kit Kat, tastes like graham cracker.
Yeah.
That was a nice touch.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That was a really good touch.
I love that.
A really, really light, delicious, but...
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
So I would give this a really light, delicious, and it's only because I used to use this key lime scented chapstick. And now whenever I have key lime flavored stuff, it always just reminds me of chapstick, and that kind of weirds me out. It's still pretty good, though. And that is, like, a really, really, like, personal thing.
I like it. I thought it was really good.
It was good, yeah.
It was very tasty.
It was still good.
All right, now here's the big one. I'm kind of excited for this one. Looks like it could be pretty good.
Hoosie, what's it? I have no idea what this one is. It's very strange.
This may be how we die, but, you know.
I feel like I need... This
could be a...
A knife.
Final episode of Talk to Dad? Perhaps.
This could be the, like, left field...
So we're really close to having a perfect score with our treat yourself treats.
Yeah, that is delicious.
Oh, that's delicious.
But I think it's okay.
Dang it. Oh.
I don't love it. It's candy.
This is going to sound weird, but this is exactly like I expected it. And it's really
like,
good.
It tastes like Muddy Buddies. And I really like Muddy Buddies.
So it's kind of it's got a wafer, like a chocolate wafer in the middle of it. It's covered in chocolate. I don't know. I feel like the flavor is not as good as it could be, but it's all right.
I mean, we didn't get any meh or grosses, so that means that we at least got, like, the upper half ratings.
Yeah.
I honestly think this is, like, one of
pretty
the best.
Pretty good. You know,
I think this is one of the best treat-yourselves we've done in a while.
Considering these are really all good. New candy bars we've never tasted before, they were better than I thought they would be.
They're really good.
I really liked all of them.
The real kind of sleeper for me was the Fruity Pebbles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, can we agree that that one was the best?
I don't know. I think I might like the Kit Kat the best. I think I might like the Kit Kat the best.
So I guess we have different opinions.
And I think I like the Fruity Pebbles the second. Will, you like the Fruity Pebbles the best?
Yeah,
and
that was really,
the
really
Cocoa
good.
Pebbles were great, but I think they're the weakest overall.
What is that
they're
one called? Who's it, what's it?
Who's it, what's it?
Yeah. You like the Who's it, what's it best?
Who's it, what's it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that one.
Yeah, I really liked all of these.
I feel like I need to go, I don't know, run or
drink
something.
Water.
Exercise.
Yeah.
So much sweet stuff.
Yeah.
But that is Treat Yourself.
That was a good Treat Yourself.
And that is our podcast. Thanks, Will, for being on the podcast today. Thanks, Henry.
Thank you.
For being on the podcast. And thank you to anyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can email us at talkdadpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at Talk Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter at TTD Podcast. If you like the podcast and you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend about our family-friendly podcast. The other thing you can do is you can leave us a 5-star review. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, that helps other people potentially be able to find the podcast as well. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.